bonus pension for some of its members, which has caused a storm of protest from the people. The Democratic leadership now agrees with the Republicans that the situation must be corrected. This can be done promptly in a matter of hours without spending more than a bare minimum of the taxpayers' money. Senator Duke Majan and Assemblyman Bob McLennan are ready to introduce tomorrow identical bills in the two houses which will repeal the bonus pensions. If the Democratic leadership in the legislature means what it says about correcting the problem, it can dispose of it without delay, and it can be done without either party playing politics with the matter. Because of this particular issue, I brought Assemblyman Bob McLennan here with me, and I have to say, I hope the people of California recognize that it was Assemblyman McLennan, by authoring not only authoring this bill, but keeping this issue alive on behalf of the people, I think that is responsible now for at least the possibility of resolving this issue once and for all. So I have him here with me for any questions that you might have about the particular legislation.
For re-election because of the reapportionment. Do you think that the Democratic leadership is going to let you carry that bill? And are you going to insist on it?
I will certainly endeavor it in every way possible to carry the bill. I'd expect there will be some obstructive tactics used to try to get it away from me, but I want it to, for the benefit of the people of the state of California. I'm not doing it for any personal glory of any kind. I just want
to... Assemblyman Gonzalez should carry it, that wouldn't bother you.
Well, it would be a little bit upsetting that I'd carried it this long and then it would be turned over to my opponent, but this is not the most urgent thing on my mind anyway right at this time.
The Democratic leadership decides to convene and then adjourn and not meet again until Monday so as to observe the High Holy Days. Would you have any objection to that?
Well, there isn't anything that I could do about it. That is their prerogative. They can do that. The only point that I've made is that having had three opportunities to deal with this in the last session and being able to send down to my desk 1,184 bills in 10 days, I don't see that there would be any reason or justification for not treating with this on Wednesday and getting home in plenty of time for the beginning of the High Holy Days. Critical of them for not having repealed it once we knew the extent of it and what the problem was.
Can you clarify again what you thought the amendments to this procedure were a few years ago?
Yes, the original bill, when it was passed in 66, was a bill. At that time, we had had the one-man, one-vote decision, and it was mainly aimed at the Senate. And suddenly men, by this change, this court decision in Washington, suddenly had their careers and their entire district just simply pulled out from under them. And it seemed like a fair bill at the time. Now, then a few years ago in 71, this was augmented and changed. I don't think that any one of us saw, first of all, I start from the standpoint of, in the separation of powers, of usually leaving to the legislature those matters that are purely theirs. But in signing it, I don't think that any of us, and I don't charge that the legislature, really envisioned the manner in which it can be used.
The manner is that you're talking about?
Well, the fact that without any regard to reapportionment, that in a reapportionment year, anyone can quit or decide to run for another office and whatever he does and walk away with his full pension beginning at whatever age.
Being abused and interpreted too loosely?
No, I'm afraid that we found out that this is what the bill actually said.
Governor Peter.
In 1971, Frank Lanterman carried a bill which extended these early bonus benefits and was very clearly debated in the legislature at that time.
Well, the bill was passed, and as I say, I have observed the separation of powers and have let the legislature. I haven't intervened in their particular affairs.
Governor, why did you call a special session 15 minutes after the legislature called a special session?
Well, I didn't know that the legislature had called one in 15 minutes. I had had the leadership, the Democratic leadership, contacted as to whether it would be worthwhile to call a special session. I was aware of the public sentiment, in agreement with it, but there was no point in calling them back when they had refused three times to deal with this during the last session if they were going to do the same thing. So I was informed by them it would be an exercise in futility. They had no intention of doing anything about it, and it would be useless to call them back into special session. Now, the public pressure built, thanks to Assemblyman McLennan, and built to the place that the word was brought to me that the Democrats were ready now to go into special session. But the talk at the time that I called the session was that they were discussing, well, going into a session sometime down the line in the next few weeks. I felt that the people, feeling as they did, deserved better than that. And as I say, it's something that could be settled in an hour. They could be here and on their way home in the same afternoon. And I called the meeting for Wednesday, which is the soonest I felt we could.
Governor, for years, and previous governors too, you sat idly by while the legislature did funny things with their own operating budget, trebled it probably, spent a lot of that money for increased campaign activities by their staff, took junkets without filing meaningful reports, did all kinds of things, and you've observed a hands-off policy. What's so different about this?
Well, I don't think that's exactly a fair description. I've spoken out and been quite critical of a great many things that the legislature does in running its affairs upstairs.
You had it, you know, with your blue pencil, you had the opportunity to focus public attention squarely on it and make them justify some of the things they did.
And as I said the other day in here, I was well aware also of the limitations of power in the separations of power, that the executive branch could be treated with obstructionism at the same time that you attempted to use the budget with regard to the legislative affairs. And while I can take out what they put in to the budget, I cannot put back anything they've taken out. And when you're hanging under literally a blackmail threat of what they could do simply by wiping out whole areas of staff, whole sections of the executive branch, and there wouldn't be any recourse to this setup of being the governor of the minority party while they are the majority party in the legislature. No, I recognize the realities.
Do you think that a retiring legislator, you know, prior to the age of 60 is entitled to any compensation for the for his service and the risk he takes? Anything at all?
That what?
You think that a retiring legislator prior to the age of 60 is entitled to any compensation for the risk he takes or for the service he renders?
Well, I think that, first of all, you know, we have a very generous pension plan. As a matter of fact, it is extremely generous with regard to the employee's contribution. And this plan would be unchanged. There's only one facet of it that would be changed, and this is the early retirement provision. I saw the justice at the time of the whole one man, one vote change when that took place. I didn't have any particular quarrel with that. But I believe that now, as we envision this beyond that point, going on to cover just every contingency, no, I think that that there is no justification for this.
It's justified to maintain early retirement for legislators who are, in fact, affected by reapportionment in the future?
Well, Bob, would you like to answer what your bill does about that?
Yeah, I see no justification for a guarantee just because of reapportionment taking place any more than a freeway coming by and changing the route of traffic for a man running a filling station. I think this is the risk you take when you become elected to office. If you get defeated, regardless of reapportionment, I think this is one of the risks you take in serving the public.
Well, Governor, you said that you felt it was justified 10 years ago. Why is it not justified now?
Well, I thought it was justified 10 years ago. It does not mean necessarily that I could foresee what would happen and how it went. It seemed a logical and a fair thing at the time. I, as a matter of fact, wasn't a part of government at that time. I didn't have any particular quarrel with it. Now we have seen this extension of it, a place where, as I say, men can just choose to quit or be defeated in the normal process of election, and they now want protection against even that, the hazard of being defeated when they run for office. This could mean that someone who is voted out of office because he has been incompetent and so forth is rewarded
for that for the rest of his life? I can see a great many things that perhaps we did not see in 1966.
I might add just one thing there, that the salary of the legislators at that time was $6,000 a year when this was voted in 65, and it's a little different than getting $19,000 than to what they're getting now. So I think the circumstances were quite different, as the governor has mentioned.
Some talk that legislation may be proposed to reduce the pension benefit but not eliminate it totally. Would you accept legislation if that were the only bill that came to you that would reduce the pension benefit but not eliminate it totally?
Well, now you're asking me to comment on hypothetical legislation that might come down, and I'd rather not give a hypothetical answer. I'd have to wait and see what it was they did.
Mr. Brown and others have said that there is an effective contract between members and the state, and that it would be plain illegal to abort that contract or one provision of that contract. Do you have legal advice that it can be done?
I've got better legal advice than the Secretary of State.
On this issue?
On all issues.
You're saying it's legal, it would be legal to do so?
I'll refer to my legal advisors.
Well, we anticipated this, of course, and we got a direct opinion from George Murphy himself, who wrote us an opinion with his own research that we were completely on legal constitutional grounds in our efforts to rescind this program.
That George Murphy being the legislative counsel.
So did you really expect that the legislature can dispose of this question in a matter of a couple of hours? What do you mean by a couple of hours? Two, three, what?
I mean a couple of hours. That gives them time to say hello to each other and tell the latest story they've heard while they're home and everything else. I figure that any legislature could send down to my desk more than 1,000 bills in 4 days. They didn't give a couple of hours to each one of those. They couldn't have. There aren't that many hours. So I figure they shouldn't have any trouble at all in passing one bill at, say, the same relative speed.
Bills would still have to go out to print, Governor, and through the normal committee process. The public employees and retirement committee is still in the process of being reconstituted.
I still stand on it, that this bill that has been before them, this bill that has had committee hearings, this bill that has moved through the branches of the legislature, that they've had several opportunities to do it, there's no reason in the world why they cannot be on their way home after having voted on this bill.
Governor, it is possible that the legislature could call itself, could reconvene itself, and consider other legislation. Will you say now flatly that you will not sign any legislation that may conceivably pass in a general session?
No, I didn't say that, and I realize they have that power. They always have had that power. They could do that at any time they want to. I would think that it might strike the people strange, the expense of an added session, having rushed through the flood of legislation they did in order to meet the adjournment deadline and get out of here, that they now would come back and add to the taxpayers' woes by taking up business after the end of a two-year session, business that very easily could have been handled. It's significant that they passed 1,184 bills in 10 days and only passed 500 and some bills in all of the rest of the two-year session.
Some of the Democratic leadership seems to think that your decision to jump into this thing and call a special session on this one topic was designed to help Houston floor noise. Would you comment on that?
Well, it was designed for one thing only. Every once in a while, fortunately in this administration of mine, we have had the support of the people on something. There would have been no welfare reforms if the people, public opinion, had not forced them on a hostile legislature, a hostile legislative leadership, that in the beginning refused to allow me to even present those proposals to them. The same thing has been true, although it took longer, in property tax reform. The same thing was true with regard to implementing capital punishment and a number of things of that kind. And here again, we've had the people making it unmistakably plain how they feel. Now, I didn't wait necessarily for that. As I said, I asked, had our people ask the legislative leadership, would there be any useful purpose served in my calling a
special session. I was ready to and wanted to. And the only reason I held back was when I was informed by the majority, and I can't do anything about that majority vote, that no, they would take no useful action in such a session. Then, however, when they themselves felt the pressure of public opinion and moved, indicated they were going to come back and deal with this problem, I then, to expedite it and get it called as quickly as possible, called a special session myself.
The fact is, that Mr. Florian would benefit from the law as it stands now, being a three-term assembly.
Well, I don't know in what way he would benefit. Of course, he agrees with me, but then I think that, and he agrees with Assemblyman McLennan, but I think also that every right-thinking person does. As a matter of fact, let me make one thing plain. This is not a blanket indictment of Democrats per se, because I have also had communication from individual Democratic legislators within the last few days begging me to call a special session and disagreeing totally with their leadership.
Well, which Democratic legislators have contacted you?
I am not going to use their names in which they communicated with me and cause them problems with their peers on the Democratic side in the future.
Reveal your sources, eh?
What? Well, one is a co-author of this legislation, Wadi Dedda, and I don't think there's any question about how he feels, and I don't think he'd mind my saying so.
I ask Mr. McLennan, rules will have to be waived to have this thing heard without the 30-day waiting period. Does that require 54 votes in the assembly, or have you checked that out?
Yes, in fact, the vote on the bill will require 54 votes because it is an urgency bill.
But to have it heard in the first place without, or to waive the rules, doesn't that require unanimous consent?
No, not unanimous consent. I think it's just a two-thirds, a majority in the Rules Committee would have to vote on waiving the rules, I'm sure. And then if the rules were waived in the Rules Committee, we could hear it immediately in the Retirement Committee and then have a floor vote on it within a very short time, and it would require 54 votes in the Assembly.
Intimated you would like the legislature out of town when you do your end of, or rather your deadline vetoing, any truth to that suspicion? Well, he's partly right. I find that a certain calm settles over the Capitol when they're out of town at any time, and I have something, the feeling a teacher must have when the students have all fled out the door in vacation time. But no, I'm well aware of the fact that that they could bring themselves back in any session, and if they feel strongly enough, they will do it. And I'm also well aware that in my calling a special session, they can recess that session and then meet again in general session. So I think he was just giving voice to the political season.
Governor, you said some legislators had contacted you about their calling a special session. And many legislators are telling us that they've received a lot of heat from their constituents. Have many people written you or called you, just constituents, voters, complaining about it? Have you received much mail on that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we have had more mail than on any other single issue in this two-year session. A flood of mail. Well, just in the last few days, I know that it's topped 1,000.
We stopped counting a couple of weeks ago after 2,500 letters came to our office individually. This was in addition to petitions signed by hundreds of people and also calls to over the telephone coming to both my district office and to this office. And I might say that at least 90% of all the questions and conversation in my appearances has been in regards to this program that we've been endeavoring to repeal.
How do you feel about this, Doctor? You're a freshman assemblyman. You admitted sometime earlier that you didn't know very much about the parliamentary maneuverings that are involved in something like this. Do you feel like David slaying Goliath?
I've had a crash course in parliamentary procedure in the last 2 months, I would say, and I've learned more, I'd say, in this time than I had for many, many months and years in other subjects. But it has been a very thing that the power of the news media and the power of the people's wishes can make such a dramatic change that we were completely, the door slammed so dramatically in our face that every attempt up here during the session, and when the people became riled up enough about a subject, they got in contact with their legislators. And now we've had a reversal of the interest, certainly to the extent that we'll have a chance to vote on it, and the people can know how their representatives will be voting.
It's a personal victory for you?
Well, I really don't I don't take any great credit. I think it's I've got a staff and an office personnel, and I've got an organization in my campaign down there that won't quit, and I have to give most of the credit to them, plus the news media. I take no personal credit for it.
I can give him some personal credit. I think that he may refer to himself as a freshman, but I think you stop being a freshman when you learn how much can be done, not by shedding light, but by raising the heat level. He sure raised the heat level in the legislature.
Thank you, Governor.
Okay.
First time we've had one.